Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
This morning, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Mary was very familiar with angels, and as I said last week, angels are throughout the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Tax time. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." That word inn, I've already taught on that, Christmas after Christmas. It doesn't mean the Holiday Inn or the Motel 6 or a La Quinta. The inn was a upper chamber. The Jewish people had upper chambers in their houses. They had what they called upper rooms. That's where Pentecost happened. And somebody in Jerusalem's upper room. Cataluma is the word. And so when you read this, Joseph cannot find room at any of his relatives' place. None of his relatives made room for Joseph, with a pregnant wife about to deliver. Why? Because of the stigma around her pregnancy. Okay. Think about it. Didn't mean that the hotels were sold out, as you see in some Christmas programs. It meant that there was no one that would let him in the house with her. Found a place that a farmer said, "Yeah, we have," they use caves. Jesus was basically born in a cave. Is where the sheep were held. So he was born in a cave, the same place he was put in a tomb, in a cave. Well, it's on angels, not that. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." How sad. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them," the shepherds that is, "and they were sore afraid." These shepherds were teenage boys, not old men with gray beards. The teenage boys would do the night watch. And it was birthing season of the lambs. Lambs were born somewhere the end of March, the first part of April, the only time lambs were born. This is how we know this is the time Jesus was born. He was not born next week. That's not his actual birthday. He was born during the birthing season of the lambs. And how appropriate. The only time they would keep watch during the night over their flock was when there was birthing taking place. And the sons of the house, the servants of the house, the young boys were the shepherds. Wow. "And lo, the angel came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid." How about you? Wouldn't you be? "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And they didn't notice these angels. The angels could have said, "Go at the end of this path, make a left, there'll be three farms to the right, and you'll find Jesus there." Notice the shepherds did not give that instruction. Why didn't the angels get specific? I taught this before. There was a rumor that Jesus was illegitimate, that he was a bastard. Okay? And all of these families and all of these places, nobody would put Jesus up. Only one farmer, we probably allowed him even in the barn, possibly. But out of all of these homes, not one relative put Joseph and Mary up. And so these shepherds have to go looking for the Christ child. So what are they doing during the night? They are going and they're knocking door to door. We saw angels saying that the Christ was born. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Do you have a cave? Do you have a stable? Don't tell me if the whole town got woke up. That the noise wouldn't be shared abroad. Maybe we turned down the Son of God. Whoa. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angels a multitude of angels, of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Now, angels are messengers. We see here they are celebrating, and they're praising God. We learned last week, angels interact with us. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. That would tell me the angels put on the appearance of people. Angels have been assigned to us. Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We learned in Mark chapter 12, angels don't marry. They're not given in marriage. They don't procreate. And I'm going to just say it right here. Angels are not our loved ones who have died. That is an erroneous demonic doctrine. And some people think their dead loved ones are an angel when they see a star. That's their loved one looking down on them. That would freak me out to know I would pass from this life to the next, be stuck up there in the galaxy, twinkling. We learn that angels respond when believers declare the word of God. Psalm 103, verse 20. Angels appeared as men. Angels appeared to Moses in a burning bush. An angel did. Angels appeared in their glorious body. That's the reason why people were scared. When they came to the shepherds, they didn't come as a man. They wouldn't have been freaked out. The shepherds wouldn't have been freaked out. In fact, the shepherds probably wouldn't have believed the message if they came as a man. But they were in a glorious heavenly body, the way they were created. Angels will appear in dreams throughout the scriptures. And many times, if you've ever had a dream that was a warning and a person that you didn't know or a person came to you in a dream with a warning from God, it was probably an angel in your dream because they are these kind of messengers. Angels have appeared as lights. Angels show up during the gifts of the Spirit and they are active when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. And I have seen them when they have been in operation. I was at a Benny Hinn crusade, and I saw two massive angels, one on one side of Benny and one on the other. In fact, in the Colosseum, this part of the body of the angel was on the outside. I mean, it was like it went through the roof. All I saw was this part of the body on down of this massive angel. And he had two Secret Service people standing on each side, and these angels were beside the Secret Service. And the Secret Service was scanning the whole service, all of the audience. I say Secret Service, his bodyguards. And I started laughing because I thought, these puny little guys can do nothing compared to these massive angels. And others were with me. I didn't want to shut my eyes. I was afraid if I opened my eyes, if I'd blink, they would go away. And I wanted to watch this. And they were beautiful. They were transparent. You could see through them. And then others were with us. They could see them in the around the roof just flying around. You could see things fluttering everywhere. And people were being healed. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation. They had shown up because of the worship that were there. Angels, we saw last week, can get an attitude. Angel got an attitude at Zacharias when he didn't want to believe the message and began to question the angel. Gabriel got an attitude. We see the angel showed up as a light with Peter. When I said they show up as lights sometimes, a light shone in the room where Peter was at in prison while the church prayed. And the angel slapped him and said, get your shoes on, boy, and let's get out of here. Angels serve as witnesses. They're watching us. Whoa. When Jesus appeared, there will be a shout of an archangel. Here's some things about angels. Angels are sent to answer prayer. We see it in many places. I'll give you three. You can read later. I won't even give you the verse, just a chapter. So you'll read the story. Acts 10, Daniel 9. Also in Luke 1:13, the angel said to Zacharias, but the angel said unto him, Luke 1:13, fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. Look at that. Thy prayer is heard. That's Luke 1:13. Angels minister peace and encouragement. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, Acts 27. Angels will reap the end time harvest. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Angels will minister to children. Notice the Lord spoke this in Matthew 18 and verse number 10. The Lord himself spoke this about that. And this is where the Catholic Church gets that phrase, everybody has a guardian angel. Did you know that's not true? Children have angels. They're innocent. Hear me? They're innocent. Believers have angels because the believers are innocent by the blood of Jesus. Not everybody has angels. But children, and I believe when children get to a certain age, they know right from wrong. They know, they understand who Jesus is, the plan of salvation. I don't know. I'm not going to say 12 is a year of accountability. I believe for me, at 5 years old, I understood fully. And I gave my heart to the Lord. The Catholic Church has started 12 as the age of accountability because that's when Jesus was in the temple. Astonishing the religious people there, the rabbis there. Now, angels minister to children, but remember, they hearken to the voice of the Lord. That's the reason why some people say, well, as a child, I was molested. You had no prayer coverage. Angels are not your prayer coverage. A person in the earth has authority. Angels have no authority in the earth. Angels have no authority in the earth. The only authority angels have is the word that we give them when we pray. That's why we pray. As we pray, we give authority to the angels. They answer the prayers because they are on assignment for God. Are you still with me? That's the reason why evil things happen to children. That is so sad. Even though they have angels, nobody has activated those angels in prayer. Oh, wow. It's quiet in this camp meeting this morning. Ah, ho, 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 jingle bells. Can that wake you up? Praise God. That's the reason why we need to cover one another in prayer. And that's the reason why many times if I go by an elementary school, I'll go into intercession over all the children in that school. Are you with me? Activating their angels to watch over them. That's why intercession is so important. We don't pray, things happen. Angels rejoice when somebody gets saved. How many have heard this preached before? When somebody got saved. Well, there's scripture for it. Luke 15, verse number 10. Luke 15, 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is what? Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In other words, joy. There is rejoicing. They're expressing joy. Angels surrounded the birth of Christ. We see in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John, the forerunner of Jesus. And John was a cousin of Jesus. The angel appeared unto Joseph, not only Mary, but unto Joseph. And let me say here, Joseph was a delegated authority in the home, not Mary. Even though Jesus had Mary's DNA and did not have Joseph's DNA, Joseph was the head of the home. The angel had to appear to Mary first because Mary had to give permission. God will not override a person's will. So that's why the angel appeared unto Mary first. There are times in a marriage or in a home, in a family, that God will speak to the woman first. But if it's a direction for that family or that home, God will also speak to the man, right? In some way. Okay? So the angel comes to Joseph in a dream because Mary is pregnant. Joseph is having a hard time swallowing that she hadn't been with some other man. How many think that's just rationale? He was a just man. He knew the word. He just couldn't picture the woman he's going to marry from Nazareth. After thousands of years or these prophecies or hundreds of years of it coming together, he just couldn't imagine that God would choose the woman he was going to marry. So the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. And let's read that, Matthew 1:20. Now he's thinking all these things and falling asleep. He's probably in great stress and anxiety. And he's not thinking on marrying her at this point. He's trying to find a way that he can keep her from being stoned, trying to find a way that he could put her away privately because he cared for her. But he's not willing, because he was righteous, to marry her if she was unrighteous. He was not going to be unequally yoked just because he loved this woman. Are you still with me? Are you here? And so while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now this is key, because there had to be a legal lineage for Jesus to be born of David. A legal lineage. Say legal. He was biologically also of the seed of David. Are you here? He was biologically of the seed of David through Mary. But he had to be legally through the lineage of David. So the angel says to him, says to Joseph, thou son of David. When God speaks, the word's going to be on it. The angel is bringing out the word. It would be of the household of David. He's following me? He says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. In other words, go ahead and marry her. This is the plan of God. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, that woman's telling you the truth. Can you imagine what kind of betrayal he must have felt at this point? Because if God looked out of all of time and found this one person above all the women to be the mother of his child, can you imagine how pure and chaste and godly she was? Think about it. And then Joseph thinks she has slept with another man while she was betrothed to him. Can you imagine the betrayal? It had to make his head go, because he knew her. He knew that this woman wouldn't let him get away with nothing if he just suggested slightly something. Are you with me? And the betrayal that he felt. Say, the announcement came by the angels. Wow. What are they announcing today? Most prophecy. Prophets will hear angels. They may not see the angels. They may not say he's right here or right here or right there, but much of the prophetic words that come is angels from on high speaking it into the ears of the prophets. Are you with me? Angels announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Angels, we see here in Matthew 2, bring warning and guidance. The need for angels. Warning and guidance. Matthew 2:10. Now, let me say something about the wise men. Pageants, nativity scenes, how many, and Christmas songs, how many wise men do we normally think there were? Three. Why do we think there were three? Because there were three categories of gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In other words, Bob brought the gold. David brought the frankincense. And Job brought the myrrh. Okay? No. They all brought, no doubt, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is believed because of an Old Testament scripture, and I might share that with you next week, that there were, as far as the eye could see, the camels were coming. Laden with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were astrologers. They had heard from Daniel from hundreds of years before. It was passed down that a Messiah, a king, would be born and to be watching the stars, because Daniel was a prophet. And they saw the star and they said, it's time. And they prepared. I believe these gifts have been prepared for hundreds of years and passed down to when the king is born. This is what you will do. Say, the camels are coming. Laid down with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they come. And of course, I can tell you, if three men showed up to Herod, they probably would not have gotten a company or got an audience before King Herod. They couldn't have come before him. But all of Jerusalem was troubled because of all of these wise men coming in from the Orient on their camels. And he's probably saying, what is going on? Not only would it be just the kings, but they would have their servants with them. And so therefore, I'm sure he's like, what is going on? So they had an easy audience. And they come in and they begin to share about the prophecy. They begin to share about the star. And he begins to tremble. He's shaken. He calls in the rabbis, the teachers of the law, because he's ignorant of Jewish law. And they say that Bethlehem is where he is going to be born. And so the wise men, they head towards Bethlehem, which I don't know exactly where in Jerusalem that he was at, but I've been there. It's a 6-mile journey downhill. You go up to Zion. So they went downhill about 6 miles, and they got right into Bethlehem. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at the scripture. Matthew 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, so the star reappears after they leave Herod, it says they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Now, there's something about this star we can keep reading. Let's go to verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, they just didn't kneel down like we will kneel at the altar. The way they knelt down was they were just totally flat on their stomach, worshiping this baby boy. In fact, he's not a boy. He's about 2 years old at this time. And he's not in the manger. It's at the house. See the house? Mary and Joseph are living in Bethlehem at this time. Verse number 12. So that night, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord. Who did he appear to? Joseph. Joseph. The angel appears to Joseph again. Why? Because he's the head of the home. And he says to Joseph in a dream, arise, take the young child, see, not the infant baby, the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. The angels giving direction and guidance. Verse 14, and he arose, he obeyed the voice of the angel, and he took the young child and his mother by night. He had a plan, a strategy. He couldn't be seen moving. Moving at night. That's where people who don't pay their rent, they usually move when? At night. That's a strategy. If you don't want to get caught, you move at night. They moved at night, and they went to Egypt. Angels. We activate angels by the word of the Lord and by our intercession and prayer. I believe praying in tongues. There's a tongue. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, I believe when we pray in the Holy Ghost, it can be a different language or it can be angel tongues. And we're praying the will of God. Did everybody get this with your bulletin as you come in this morning? You get it? This is your confession. Excuse me. I want us to read it together. Can we do that? Let's do it. Jesus, your word declares that angels intervene and are released through our praise and our confession of faith. Let's stop there. When we come into the house of God and we just sit here or we don't enter in to the praise and the worship, our angels are probably getting an attitude. Because angels are praisers and they don't understand. If they praise Him, they've seen Him, they praise Him, and He didn't die. Jesus didn't die for the angels. When they rebelled, a third of them got cast out of heaven. But we sin and mess up and fall short. But we come upon His mercy and His grace, and He cleanses us from sins because He died for us. He loved us more than He does the angels. And so when the angels see that they worship and they praise and they dance and they shout and they have their time of rejoicing, they don't understand what's wrong with humans. Preaching now. Angels are released through praise. When we praise Him, they're released. That's the reason why, my friend, you can be oppressed and depressed and discouraged, but if you will enter in with a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, the angels become ministers unto you, just as they minister to Jesus, and the oppression and the depression has to flee. Let's start all over. I'm not going to preach this confession. We're going to do it, I promise. Jesus, your word declares that angels intervene and are released through our praise and our confession of faith. Therefore, I praise you for the heavenly host operating on our behalf. You can put my behalf there. I know that there is angelic host and chariots of fire encircling our homes, families, and every situation in my life. I declare and I decree the word of God, and angels are released to fight, protect, and go before me in every battle against myself and all that pertains to me. In the name of Jesus, I release angels of prosperity on my behalf. The angels of the Lord will prosper my way because I walk before the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the same anointing that was upon Jacob to come upon me. The angels are ascending and descending on my behalf. They are taking away what I do not need and bringing to me what I do need. Father, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for angels excelling in strength and doing your bidding. Thank you that they shut the mouth of the lion. Therefore, I shall not fear, because there is power in the blood and authority in your name. I stand in victory today. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can you release this in your home every day? Over your life every day? In faith. In faith. And when you release it, you release the angels on your behalf. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just stand to our feet and give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."